The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good evening, everyone, and welcome to IMC. And I think last week, didn't we do a break up into discussion groups? Well, I thought of doing that again. It's kind of unusual to do it, but I think it's important. And it's a topic that's been on my mind today. And this is a topic which should be very important to all of you who come to some place like this. And it's a topic that maybe I shouldn't sit up here and expound on. And that is, what does it take to be a good student? So we have a distinction in our tradition. In Buddhism in general, there's a distinction between teachers and their students, teachers and students, teachers and practitioners. And sometimes that distinction is very strong, the tremendous hierarchy difference between the teacher, the guru, and the student. And sometimes it's that not much difference is made. And it's almost like, they're kind of not much of a hierarchy at all. And our tradition, the Theravada tradition, especially the one that's come to the West here, we tend more towards that end of the spectrum where we're called good spiritual friends. That's the kind of teachers we are. So a little more kind of in the less hierarchy kind of role end. So we're not supposed to sit high up on pedestals or whatever. And I really didn't want to sit up on this platform. And I used to sit on the floor. And I thought that was the right place to be. And some of you are here now today, many years ago. I guess you were there probably. Insisted that I had to get up so people can see me. So we ended up with this platform against my whatever wisdom I have. Because this point that we're kind of more or less hierarchy in our tradition. But still, that distinction exists. And sometimes the teacher is a student. Sometimes the student is the teacher. It's a fluid role that goes back and forth in various ways. But one thing we all share, myself included, is that at times we're all students in this tradition. We study, we learn from other teachers, we learn from the Buddha, we learn from texts. And if a teacher like myself just sits up here and expounds for 45 minutes or for 3 hours, however long, there's a kind of passivity on the part of the recipient. And maybe some of you are very actively engaged in the material, but still it's kind of being given to you. I think it's really important to engage as a student, as a practitioner, and not to be a passive recipient, but in a sense be the producer of the teachings in yourself. It has to be that way to really come alive for you. And so a very interesting topic, I think, are the qualities of being a good student. And one of the reasons I like this topic is that one of the qualities of a good student is taking responsibility for what happens. Not just leaving it in the hands of the teacher. Teacher is the one who's supposed to somehow zap you. And I'll just sit here long enough and eventually I get that zap or whatever. And the responsibility then is with the teacher, but the responsibility lays with the student. And one of the very interesting ways of looking at this is the assumption is that when people who come to Buddhism, like you're here, for whatever reason you're here to practice, and or perhaps to learn about a practice, learn about a teaching and a practice that leads to some kind of personal transformation that's very meaningful and significant. And if that's the agenda, then as you hear teachings, on one hand, you could receive those teachings or hear those teachings through the filter of what you like and don't like, through your preferences, what sounds, seems like, you know, good or not good or something like that, what's true or false or something. That's one kind of whole approach. Another approach is to remember that you're here to practice, you're here to understand and be changed. You're here not just to understand something abstract, you're here to understand what's helpful for you in your life. So you take what's being taught and you transform it, or you apply it, or you interpret it, or you work it to see how is it this is useful for me. So what that means is that a teacher could say something really outrageous, or a teacher could say something really stupid, or even a teacher can say something that, you know, on some level seems like a wrong thing to say, and you could be upset or say that, you know, that's terrible, how could the person do that, and argue back and forth and say, well, this, that can't be true, and I have the truth, let me tell you. That's certainly valid. I mean, it's okay to do that. But I don't know if it helps you much to do that. Another approach is to turn it around and say, well, that's kind of an odd thing for the person to say, or mostly I disagree with that, but let me study this, what the person said, and how or when and what context might this be useful for me? In what way could this be useful? And so that question, how, in what way can I make this useful? In saying, how can I make this useful, doesn't mean that you agree with the teacher. It means you are taking and appropriating it, sense, or finding how to you make this into, make you make yourself a better person through these teachings. So what that means, of course, is I don't have to take much responsibility. I mean, I say what I say and do the best I can. And the responsibility maybe mostly lies with you. What do you do with it? So that was a long-winded introduction to this topic. What are the qualities of a good student? All of you have been students at some point in your life, but especially in terms of a spiritual discipline, Buddhist practice, what does it take to be a good student? And now, shouldn't that be an interesting topic for you? Now, if you're not interested in that topic at all, then, well, it's okay. But if you're not at all interested in this topic, then maybe you have better things to do than be here tonight. So are you guys game for this?
No.
Not game. Not at all. Sophia. Yeah, and grades for you. That's more what I had in mind, rather than a student of algebra or something. A student of spiritual practice, something. So what I had in mind was to do this in two steps. And the first step was for you guys to form little groups of three people and then discuss it among yourselves for a while. And then I'll ring a bell, and then I'll offer you a little different angle on the topic, and then discuss it some more. Maybe stay in the same group, or maybe I'll see what it feels like, and maybe change the configuration a little bit. And then once you've had that discussion, I'd like us to come back into, you know, like we are here, and then see if we could come up with a list of good qualities of a student, what it takes to be a good student. And what might be very interesting is to hear the range of different things that people have come up with. There might be quite a range. Different people have different perspectives on this topic. So, now if this is something, if you came here because whatever reason, maybe you have very good reason, something important happened in your life, and you came here, this was supposed to be a refuge, and be quiet and not interact with people, you came to meditate, and if that's the case, it's okay not to participate. I mean, you can go home if you like. But you could also stay and just be quiet. Sit and keep meditating and be quiet, or go sit in the outer hall where it's going to be quieter, and then be part of the rest of it when we kind of report back. And you don't feel obligated to participate if it just doesn't feel right for you. Okay, so groups of three, and then why don't you have your little discussion, and then in a few minutes I'll ring a bell and we'll change it. Okay, so there is a kind of a Buddhist cultural understanding that one way to be a good student is to listen to the bell. So what I'd like to do you do now is to take your group that you're in and join another group. And why don't you do that in silence? Do it quietly. And so then after you've joined a group, then I will give you the topic that slightly changes this a little bit. Okay, so now, so the first topic was what are the qualities of a good student? What does it take to be a good student? And this one could be some of the same answers, but there's a little different angle on it that's maybe a little unusual. Think this way, but the question is, what are the responsibilities of a student? What are the responsibilities that come with being a student? So see what you do with that. Thank you for participating in that. And so perhaps it would be nice now to hear from some of you, maybe some brief statements about what... I'm sure you talked about a lot of different things, but maybe some brief statements of something that you learned or something that surprised you as a quality of a good student. So let's see if we can take it from that angle and see whether that goes anywhere, as opposed to just listing everything. So Sophia in the back. Is there another mic here? Maybe we can...
There is another mic. I'm not sure where...
Yeah, I have it here somewhere.
What surprised me was that I fell into the trap that you said about good. And so, and some of the people here picked it up, that it's not about what's good or what's bad. It's about, you know, what's working, what's a skillful way to practice, and what's not skillful.
Great. Thank you. Someone else? Would you say something, Cheryl?
Yep, say something now.
You should get off the platform. Just kidding.
See, one way of being a teacher is to call on people. And if that's too high a standard, you know, what surprised you or what was new, why don't we just hear some of the different things came up for you of the qualities of a good student. And yes, please.
You have to do the work.
You have to do the work. You have to have a practice.
Well, I'm don't regularly come here. I go to a different brand, I guess you'd say. But I have gone in and out of, you know, being fairly, you know, involved in a regular practice, and then periods when I'm not. And clearly, when you're doing a regular practice, you get a lot more out of it, and your life definitely goes better.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And when you get away from the practice, your life basically can go to hell. But seriously, I think that's a big part of it. It's just right, to do
just
the work.
Just do it, yes. Yeah. You guys are all, yes, here. Why don't you move it, pass it over to the front, and then Jeff is going to say something.
I have one
here. Yeah. Yeah, would you can pass your mic forward to the woman there.
Someone brought up the point that to be a good student is to be open, whether you like what you're hearing or don't like, but not so much to judge it, but just to take it in.
Mm-hmm. Reflect on it. And
yeah, and then be able to accept it as another's point of view or another way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
The one thing that I thought about was kind of along that lines is taking it in, but also not blindly following anything that comes in and holding the teacher accountable. And we certainly know of stories in the broader community of things that have gone astray. And I think we have enough questioning people here that wouldn't happen. But I think that's another important part of a healthy community.
So on one hand, a student should be open to what's open to the practice, to the teaching, something. On the other hand, they should also be questioning it and be discerning about it. I'm going to give it to her. Sally.
Our group talked a bit about bringing it into our experience. So taking whatever the teachings and bringing it into our personal experience and bringing it into our daily life and understanding it that way. Or saying it's not quite fitting.
So applying them into our lives and really looking and see how they apply as opposed to keeping them abstract or something.
Right.
Great, wonderful. How about passing it right back behind you there, Sophie?
yes. I think we mentioned the word critical thinking, but not too critical. You can be too critical.
Discerning.
And I know for myself, you know, as a student, it helps me to not have one teacher, but to have many. Mm. Because I see it in different ways. I get slightly different perspectives. When I'm using it, some things work better, some things don't. I honor them all, but some things work better.
Great, thank you.
So I think it's good to have that different experience while you're learning and while you're practicing.
Wonderful.
As well.
So Alexa, like to have Sophie or Sophia? Sophie? I'm sorry, what's your name? I forgot.
I think to really have the teaching to be integrated into your own self, to practice it, and ultimately to have the passion and the willingness to manifest it so that it could be done daily as a daily practice. Mm.
Thank you. Where's the other mic? Yeah, why don't you?
One of the things we talked about is listening and incorporating what is taught in our practice and in our lives, but to question it in terms of, is this helpful? Does it add to my happiness, to my sense of peace? Mm. And to really connect with that as much as possible, moment to moment. Mm-hmm.
So if I may, it's certainly a very important approach. You know, is it helpful? But another question might be, how is it helpful?
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, even if I said that the most important practice that you should be doing is collecting matchsticks, you know, that, what? But maybe there's a way that you can make that interesting, make that useful. Maybe, you know, well, if he said that, so I guess I'm supposed to, I guess I'm supposed to learn patience or something, or maybe I'm, you know, I don't know what, but so it's one question is it useful? The other question is, how is it useful? Mm-hmm. And some people are really good at the first one. And sometimes a way of stretching is to ask it the other way, you know, how is it useful? Mm-hmm. And it might only be useful, you know, once in a great while, but maybe occasionally it is.
Being able to persevere through your resistance.
So persevering through resistance, looking at resistance, being honest about the resistance, working with it. Thank you.
Oh, I think the first thing that came up for me was that nothing came up for me, and I got really kind of alarmed that I didn't have any thoughts about what a good student was, and then I realized it's because
I didn't have the mic, no. That's why I wasn't hearing anything. Really, I know I'm happy with the student I am when I'm really not thinking. And I'm just coming from my heart. Mm. And I'm just sort of in that flow.
Beautiful.
So I think for me, practicing being a student is learning how to get rid of my thoughts.
Great.
Or just have them not run me.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, where's the mic now? Someone, do you want to say something? Did you want to say?
I mean, I don't know if this is a responsibility of a good student. It just seems like it's important, and we touched on it, is being able to work with resistances, hard times, challenges, and be with that. And also when you or things don't seem to be going well, so to speak, that one is not judgmental, self-judgmental, and kind of gentle, a certain amount of gentleness with oneself, especially through these difficult times.
Great.
Kind of see it through in that way.
Thank you. Here in the front.
I think for me, I think being a good student is, I guess, being humble or just having humility, because I think that it's really difficult to learn things if you already know everything. So.
Beautiful. Very nice. Thank you. Yeah, can you move it straight here to the back? So this one's going there.
I'll paraphrase what someone else in our group expressed, but allowing seeds to be planted and to reside, even if you don't understand them at the time, because at some point in the future you may relate to it and it may be able to, it's in there. Mm-hmm.
So if something you don't understand something, don't just kind of brush it off, but let it kind of stay close by or be planted so that it might sprout later for you.
One thing if you're taking algebra, then it's enough just to do the problem set and then answer the questions on the final exam. Then you're an adequate student, I guess. But maybe that doesn't even work in algebra. But in something like insight meditation, that affects everything you do in your whole life and is your spiritual direction, then it seems to me that at some point you need to think, what would I do if I were the teacher? How would I approach this if I were going to teach it to other people? And until you do that, you're kind of looking up at the bottom of the boat and saying, yeah, the boat floats, but I'm just looking at the bottom. I think you kind of need to get in the boat and see if you can make it go. Probably you can't the first time you try. Probably it won't be that satisfying, but it'll I think until you're ready to at least take on in your imagination the role of the teacher, which is like what the Buddha did eventually, then you don't, you're not really a serious student. You have to be willing to take that risk in order to become a complete student. Mm-hmm. So we talked about other things, but that was the thing that meant that occurred to me the most strongly.
Great, thank you. So coming to the end of our time together, does anything anybody would like to say or ask to kind of feel complete this evening? And something maybe it could be that more of these qualities or also something different. Maybe this stir something up or raise some other issues or just something you want to feel, anybody wants to feel like want to say.
I'll say something briefly. I think in order to be a good student, you need to have a good teacher. No, seriously, I've had really poor teachers in the past in other areas, and it really impedes your ability, your self-confidence, a variety of things that is unhelpful. So, yeah.
I think so. I think there's some truth to that, but also the. The worse the teacher, the better student you have to be. So straight back there.
I think also trust is important, and learning how to trust yourself, your teacher, the teachings.
Yeah.
There is so much, especially when it comes to ways of life, and you know, I mean, there's only one mathematical solutions, or when it comes to science, it's solid. But when it comes to ways of life and your heart, there's so I think trusting is important, and I mean, I just came up for me, and then maybe it can also be fun to learn. I mean, it could be painful, but also could be fun too. So.
Beautiful. I love both those answers. I think that trust is really at the heart of this kind of, you know, without trust there can't be really this kind of spiritual learning. And it's kind of I don't know if the currency is the right word, but the conduit, the boat, or, you know, it's just that vehicle for it all to happen. So trust. And then it's good to have fun, to be playful and to have curiosity and interest. And, you know, it's not supposed to be a grim thing. It can be sometimes, but you know, hopefully it doesn't stay grim for too long. Okay. So thank you very much, and I hope that this given you something to reflect on and think about. And I would encourage you, so one way to be a good student is when you come to like to hear and hear a teaching, some topic, is just not just leave and say, well, that was that. But to take it with you for a while, for a few days, for the week, and kind of reflect on it, and keep thinking about it, keep coming back to it, maybe pick it up with some friends and say, you know, I heard this, we did a strange thing at IMC this week. The teacher asked us the question, and the question was, what does it take to be a good student? And what do you think? And so kind of explore it with your friends and different people and look at a different angle. So take it with you and keep living with it, these topics. So it's not just a one-time thing. So thank you. Next week, I won't be here. I'm on retreat, a teaching retreat next week. And next week, Wes Nisker is going to come and give the talk. And Wes is a wonderful teacher and personality. And you'll be in good hands. So thank you all.